Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come on, man.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. This is approved.
This is country?
Yeah, it's Stapleton.
Okay.
Little blues feel to it.
Yeah, bluesy, a little soul
in
there.
Yeah.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. That is a good one. That is 3:30 country. Of course, there is 4:30 90s, 2:30 Tupac, 5:30 Creed. Joining us now, I guess, of houseofstrauss.com, Ethan Sherwood Strauss. Ethan, back in the day, would cover the Golden State Warriors for ESPN and then started his own Substack, which you can subscribe to there. You also get his podcast, which I've been on several times. So welcome to the show, Ethan.
I'm so happy to be here, guys. Thanks so much.
What's up, Ethan?
Ethan, over the last couple of years, the fact that we are having you on to discuss the 49ers must be exciting to you, as football Ethan has really evolved over the last couple of years. That is a fact, right?
That is certainly a fact, and it's also a fact that people in this area tend to want to talk Warriors with me. A team right now I find depressing. I don't like to watch, but that's what I used to cover, and there's a lot of Warriors fandom. All I want to talk about is Niners. All I want to talk about is football. All anybody considers me an authority on, right or wrong, is the basketball team. So, yes, excited to be here for this topic.
Well, in the WIP Afternoon Show, you are a 49ers authority, Ethan. So you have made it. So would you say at this point, the 49ers, given the injury situation, is this playoffs in general sort of a house money situation for the 49ers, or is it something more?
It certainly feels that way. Anybody out here who knows a thing or two about the team is not going into this matchup with confidence. Everybody seems to be braced for the end of the season. And it's just such a contrast how the football team is dealt with out here versus where you guys are. If you guys lose, is Sirianni's job on the line? I don't know. He just won a Super Bowl, but it feels that pressurized. But the Niners, if you win enough games and we didn't expect you to, they're just going to throw a parade. Great season. And it does feel like a house money situation, in part because they had injuries, in part because they won so much, but also just because the culture doesn't demand as much and isn't as critical out here as it is out there.
Was there a point this season, at any point this season, that you said to yourself, the 49ers are really good? Was there like a stretch of time where you thought, okay, they have it this year?
Yeah, when they beat the Browns in that bad weather and it looked like, if they did that, they were locked into the playoffs and there was a path. There was a sense of, oh, it's starting to happen. It's coming together. Shanahan teams do this thing in the good years where down the stretch of a season, they really coalesce as other teams fall off and they take that momentum into the playoffs. And so there was a sense it was building to something. This actually might unexpectedly be the year despite everything else. And then you had that Seahawks matchup where it almost felt as though they could steal a Super Bowl without being all that good, because they are frauds. Let's be clear about it. The Niners are frauds, but this is a season where everybody's kind of a fraud. So if everybody's a fraud, then maybe nobody's a fraud. That's how it felt, where if they could get home field advantage, if they could get a bye week, it was plausible. And then that, of course, went all away last Saturday. And we're where we're at, where everybody is just braced for the gallows.
We mentioned that a little earlier this week about the residual effect of that loss last Saturday night, just sort of being a damper or a cloud over the team. Does it feel like that with the team? I know what you're saying with the fan base, but I'm wondering from the players' perspective, what's sort of their messaging been like coming out this week? Do they feel like they have a chance to win this game?
They're saying all the right things, and they haven't lost back-to-back games this season. And so it's nice they're saying the right things. The problem is the personnel. We play up the injuries, but it's not just Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. They're pulling linebackers off the street, man, to actually play real snaps in this game. They are heavily depleted, and I'm still not sure who's literally showing up to this game. I don't have much faith in the offense if it's going to be like last week and there's no Trent Williams or Ricky Pearsall, and I've got no assurance whether those guys are going to be in this game. So as much as they've made chicken salad over chicken, we're on the radio, but you get my drift, there's a point at which it's too many injuries, and it's looking like it's at that point. If they don't have Trent, if they don't have Pearsall, I just can't see them producing enough points, but we'll see.
Yeah, you sort of answered that question there as far as the offense, because prior to the Seahawks game, they were, for a stretch of a few games there, looked like the best offense in the NFL, right? I mean, they were really clicking. Yeah. So I guess your answer there, sort of, the question was going to be, which offense is it? Is it what we saw Saturday, or is it what we saw the few games before? But I guess your conclusion would be, if Williams and Pearsall isn't there, it's maybe not 3 points, but it's more of the offense we saw Saturday.
Yeah, it's almost like they've got it on both sides. I'm trying to schematically explain it and prove my football bonfides will probably fail, but they're slow. I think it's underrated how slow they are. They've been an awesome offense when they have enough guys this season, but man, are they slow. Christian McCaffrey at this stage for his position is slow. Jennings, it's like a 50-50 ball, and it's impressive how he fights and he somehow snatches it a lot of the time, but he's slow, and if there's no Pearsall, he's their number one receiving threat. So if that guy's not there, it's almost more important than maybe some of the bigger names, like a Kittle being absent, if Pearsall's not there. And then Trent Williams, they have done such little work in bolstering the offensive line that they have a literal career practice squad guy replacing superstar legendary left tackle Trent Williams in Austin Pleasance. And so it's not just a drop-off from losing Trent Williams, it's also what's behind him is not somebody who's competent, with apologies to him. I'm sure he's trying hard. So those two right there might be more crucial than some of the other guys they've been missing, just given the lack of depth at those positions.
Talking to Ethan Sherwood Strauss from houseofstrauss.com. You can sign up for a Substack and his podcast there. Just to go over the defense for a moment, you know, it's funny when you watch it from here or nationally, there's a lot of credit given to Robert Saleh out of what he's gotten out of the defense considering the injuries. Then you look at the rank of the defense and they don't seem like they're just very good at all. So I guess my question is, do you think Saleh's doing a good job? And is there anything on that defense that, from an Eagles perspective, that we should be worried about?
Oh, my God. I'm going back to the chicken S analogy. It's a funny thing watching him get interviews, watching him get praised as the Niners went 12-5, because I feel as though he's getting credit for making chicken S out of chicken S. Like, I don't blame him for the defense being bad, considering the losses they've suffered. But the defense has also been bad, so I don't know what we're doing in crediting him. The reason they've won these games is largely because of the offense and the special teams, and that they've gotten lucky on special teams. There's this stat called hidden points that they chart at DVOA, and the Niners have a historic hidden points margin. You just get lucky because the other team misses field goals or they have terrible kickoffs. It's a bad depth of kickoff. They've got an additional 30 points off of this, whereas last year they were negative 13. So just dumb luck that fell from the sky. Special teams getting better, offense better. Defense has been horrible. I don't have much to tell you to worry about. I think the cornerbacks are good. I think Lenore and Renardo Green are good. But, God, they've got to cover a lot for a lot of time because, as I'm sure you guys know, they're last in sacks, last in pressures, and the linebackers are just totally depleted. It's not a good defense, and it's also not getting credited for being especially creative with the depleted personnel they have. So I just think they're holding on for dear life. It might have been better if this game was on a different day and you got some of that Philly inclement weather, as crazy as that sounds for a West Coast team, just because the defense requires some assistance.
Well, you can tell you certainly aren't a homer.
No. Ethan's not a homer. When I'm talking to Ethan, I have to be, Christian McCaffrey's still pretty good. I mean,
I wanted to give some positive things to say about the Niners. I'm like, wow.
I'm not a homer. I'm a Brock Purdy apologist.
He is. Well, Ethan has Northeast in his blood, so he hates his team just like we all hate our teams.
Yeah.
Final question, Ethan. We have now asked Brian Baldinger. We've asked Shil Kapadia. I will ask you as well. If you were starting a franchise tomorrow, you're the first thing that you can place in that franchise is a quarterback head coach combo. And the quarterback head coach combo is Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy or Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. Which one would you pick?
I go Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy. It's not something I hesitate on. And I say it with trepidation because I'm not sure this upcoming game is going to be the best advertisement for my decision. But yes, that's the decision I make.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, all right, Ethan. Well, thanks as always. Congratulations on your first 49ers radio appearance.
Oh, yeah.
I would say you did a great job.
Hopefully, reverse jinx them.
I figured that's where you were kind of going for.
Yeah, they're horrible. They'll never win. And then I'll get a text from him at halftime on Sunday. All right, Ethan. Thank you as always.
All right, take care, man.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Ethan Sherwood Strauss. You can sign up for Substack, houseofstrauss.com, the podcast as well. Ethan's just so you know, Ethan's writing and podcast. It is about sports, but also about sports business and culture and all that stuff. So,
man, they aren't feeling very confident out there.
They're not.
Are they trying to set us up?
I think they're trying to set themselves up.
Okay.
I think what they're doing is the fan preservation of, look,
low expectations.
If they win, it's great,
right.
But we really don't think we can win this football team. Right. Yeah, win this football game. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, we were promised a huge High Hopes Jackie Baseball report.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report.
Joining me right now is Jackie Baseball, Fritz.
Yes, Jackie Baseball.
I mean, what a day. What a busy day. I understand most people think about the Niners. I get it. I get it. But randomly, about an hour ago, so this is how this started. John Heyman put out, he tried to rank where he sees Bo Bichette landing, like rank the teams that are interested in where he sees him going. And out of nowhere, he ranked the Phillies number one of the most likely landing spots for Bo Bichette. And this is what he wrote. He wrote, Bichette has a great relationship from Toronto with new Phillies bench coach Don Mattingly. So we know that. They're close there. The super-focused win-first Phillies would need to move Alec Bohm, then use Bichette at either third or second, whatever. At the end, he said, Phillies players were texting Bichette about the possibility last weekend when Bichette was celebrating his wedding.
Oh, no. He got married last week?
He got married last weekend, yeah. So congratulations, future Philly Bo Bichette, on your wedding. Phillies players were texting him. I don't know who that was. Feels like a Schwarby. Schwarby is probably sending him some texts.
Well, you don't think MV3 texted?
I think there's a chance. Okay. There's a chance.
As long as the AAV is not higher.
It'll be higher. Well, maybe not. Anyway, I'm trying to think. JT, not texting him.
No.
Boom,
no.
Obviously not texting him.
No.
Maybe Trey. Trey was sending him a
good.
Yeah, well, he's safe.
He knows he's playing.
Stott ain't texting. He's unsure.
Oh, yeah.
Not texting.
Okay.
I can see Marshy.
Pretty safe.
And then Bo Bichette said, who's this? But it feels like Schwarber, Harper, Turner, not JT.
Yeah, throw Wills in there. Wills,
maybe.
Text in there.
Maybe.
You know who would be great to text, but he's not on the Phillies, is a text from Bader.
Yeah.
It'd be a good text.
You're always thinking about Bader.
Yeah, I want Bader to be that. He's a good player.
Why not? Yeah, he's still, player. He's still unsigned.
Yeah, he is.
There's no shot at Bader.
Not after what the came out from Matt Gelb.
All right.
So Matt Gelb all of a sudden a half hour ago.
Okay, so there's more.
There's more news.
Oh, my God. Okay.
The Phillies have a meeting set with Bo Bichette in the coming days. Ooh. As circumstances have changed with their offseason. He also writes, the club's interest in Bichette is legitimate, and if it results in a deal, it would likely require the team to move on from JT and Alec Bohm, which we know that, and they've done extensive work on various roster ripple effects of signing him. That is from Gelb, Rosenthal, and Jason Stark. Like, that is some haymakers in the field. Like, that's... And the Phillies putting this out there. They know that people are going to get their hopes up. I don't know.
All right. Is it the Phillies putting it out there, or is it a Bo Bichette agent putting it out there, trying to get somebody else? I'm just trying to think of all the machinations of why this is out there, right? When news comes out, I try to think, why is the news out? So my first, talk me off this ledge, Jack. My first two reactions are, Phillies put it out to put light a fire under JT. That's the first thing. Second thing is Bo Bichette's agent puts it out there to light a fire under a different team. Either of those possible?
So, I guess Gelb is on his Discord. And he's talking about this and apparently said that he's been on this for 2 days and he's trying to fish out if this is to smoke out JT.
Okay.
And then he said no.
Okay.
So, which is, I think, is relatively interesting. I do think it is also to get Bichette's market going because I don't know where it is right now. Like, everyone keeps linking him to the Dodgers, but there's been nothing really there. The Yankees loosely linked. The Cubs loosely linked. The Blue Jays feel like they're going to sign Tucker now. So maybe they're trying to get the market kind of moving here. But it does feel like there's a lot of Phillies momentum here.
That's exciting. Now, the last time I got this excited was when you were telling me off air that you thought they were going to get Stephen Kwan.
That was me. Yeah. I'm nobody.
Okay.
This
all right,
is
fair enough,
real
fair
people.
Enough. Okay.
Nobody.
Well, I'm not nobody. They tried to get Stephen Kwan, but whatever.
Yeah, right.
But you feel good about Bo Bichette.
We'll see. We'll see. But, well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. At least.
I asked you, do you feel good about getting him?
I feel much better.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
I'm not saying you're saying they're going to get him, but it feels a little more legit to me.
Well, it doesn't feel like I'm just saying, go get Bichette, go get Bichette.
Right.
Without some substance
to it.
Behind
it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Gelb, Rosenthal, Heyman, we're talking about real.
Stark.
Yeah, Stark, real reports here.
Yeah.
Wow, that'd be exciting. A Bo Bichette thing would be exciting.
Close out the lineup.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Because for some, they'll say, sure, nice signing, 27 years old. How much closer does it put them to the Dodgers in the World Series? You're going to lose JT. You're going to lose Bohm.
Mm-hmm.
You're adding him. You got Crawford in center field. That's an unknown. I'm just wondering, what does it do to the overall makeup of the team? It's one thing to be excited about an individual player, but what's the impact is he going to have on this year's team?
So there. I don't think any move makes them better than the Dodgers.
Well, but not better than the Dodgers, just closer.
But
to them.
But I think it gets them legitimately closer.
Okay.
And it helps, you know, he's going to be 28, so you do have some older players on the roster. Bichette hopefully can carry some of the load as they get older.
Sure.
You know, so, but he's a real bat. I mean, he's a 300 hitter career. The 1 year we hit 224, it threw everyone off. But besides that, two-time national AL leader in hits, hit 311 last year. He doesn't strike out a lot, but he does chase a good amount. But he's he's a bad ball hitter. Whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
It usually results in some hits. He's never going to be 25 to 30 home run guy, but 15 to 25, not strike out that much. Hit the top of the lineup. Him, Turner, 1-2. Good player.
Is that our last big piece?
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have to be.
So no Bader.
Well, they have to sign a catcher or get catcher somewhere because it's not going to be Stubbs and Marshawn.
If they spend $30 million a year on Bichette, that feels done.
Mm-hmm. Can Bader be on a 1 year deal?
Yeah, but even that's $10 million, right? I did $12 million maybe or $14 million.
I'd be surprised if he signed a. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know if his market is.
I think it was Michael Kay yesterday said that he heard that the Yankees and a lot of other teams, and you brought this up a bunch of teams, are iffy about bigger contracts because of the potential lockout or whatever the hell it is. Well, that's big news, Jack. That is big news. 215-592-94.
So he's 11, which I know won't work because of J roll.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't.
Well, what's available?
Could be one.
No, it's Rishi Ashburn.
Oh, right. Of course. I'm sorry. My bad.
He's not going to wear 28.
No. I don't know. We'll figure it out once he signs.
If he signs. All right.
215-592-9494. Kristen in Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Kristen?
Hey, how are you today?
Oh, psychologist is back.
Yeah. Do you? Let me ask you this. As a Kristen is a psychologist with her own practice. When you listen to us, or even when you're talking to regular people, are you always sort of
analyzing them?
Analyzing, you know? Are you always kind of at work, you know, because right. that's your job?
Yes.
Okay. And would you do a psychoanalysis of the three of us?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Okay. No, right okay. now. Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna do it now. Okay. Okay. Right. So, for Spike.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I feel like you have narcissistic a little bit of narcissistic behavior.
Okay. Where do we get that from?
Yeah.
Because you double down on a lot of things, and then you also gaslight.
I don't gaslight.
Hey.
Well, all right, I don't.
She's the professional.
She gaslights. All right. Sorry. I don't want to be a narcissist.
I saw you narcissist. I didn't say you was a narcissist.
Okay,
I know. You have a bit of narcissistic behavior.
That's fine. I'll take it.
It's a different.
That was way easier than I thought it would be. All right, what about Ike?
Well, Ike, I feel like, you know, Ike is real hyper. I feel like he had ADHD when he was a kid.
Wow. What do you think?
Am I still have ADHD?
Yeah, well,
yeah, he's hyper. He's like very hyper.
I think it's fair.
Yeah.
He's not even listening anymore, so you might be right. Yeah. And what about Jack?
The big dummy.
Yeah.
He's not dumb.
Wow.
I think when
the big dumb dip one again?
Okay. He's optimistic.
All right.
Really?
a positive light of the world. I agree.
Also,
yep.
I think he also has ADHD, which is triggered by a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah, I think that might be true. Yeah.
I don't really portray having anxiety,
but it's there.
You could see it.
Yeah, it's there.
Well, you got to. I'm trying to. I'm a struggling father of two.
Oh, there it is.
I mean, who wouldn't be anxious?
Right. There it is. Kristen. So yes. What are you thinking about Sunday?
Okay, for me, it goes both ways. So, the thing with the Eagles, right? Like they always use, they shot themselves in the foot is because of the penalties. No one speak about the penalties. And I love Jordan Mailata. He's a great guy, but he's been an issue with penalties this year. So has Keon Mitchell, sometimes Cooper DeJean. But on the offensive side, the offensive line, it's been him, it's been Jordan Mailata, Tyler Steen, and the other guy, not Lane Johnson, but the other Johnson.
Fred Johnson.
They have been hit with a lot of penalties. And one of the games, we had 14 penalties, and that was the reason why we lost some of our games.
Yep. Yeah, they have not disciplined this year.
When it comes down to San Francisco, let me tell you something. I don't trust anything that they're saying about San Francisco. Because, like, even with the man who just came on here, like, I don't trust anything he said. I think they try to trick us and make us try to overestimate.
No, let our guard down. Yeah.
And I don't underestimate anybody. You know, and I think that's another thing. I just need the Eagles to be locked in. You know, Jalen to use his legs.
Yep.
And I need, for the play, we need some trick plays. We had no trick plays this season.
Well, now's the time.
But one, the twitch push. But we only used it twice.
Yeah. And one of them was 51 yards.
Okay. I'm surprised. We don't really run many gadget plays.
We do not.
But we need to. Because if you pay attention to Jen Hurts and his college years, he was doing all types of tricks. And you know who does a lot of tricks? Who started to do tricks?
Oh.
Like Patrick Mahomes, Jackson Bart. The last game they played, he did a whole trick play thing that Patrick Mahomes does. When you throw one ball, another person throw another. And then they get into the end zone. They were just throwing that ball all over the place. It was like from one person to one person to one person. And I was like, man, that's what we need. We need trick plays. We had no trick plays this year.
Well, I don't think the fake tush push is going to work anymore because nobody is afraid of the actual tush push anymore. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
But they need something new.
Yes.
Something to back that up, you know.
Well, Kristen,
We only used it twice.
Thank you for the Eagles call, but more specifically for the psychoanalysis of the show.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good. All right, Kristen.
You're welcome. Call y'all tomorrow. I'm going to be on very early tomorrow.
Okay.
At 8 o'clock, because I got that name.
You got one name?
For the morning show to get the tickets to the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know what goes on their show, to be honest with you. But good luck. Good luck. Thank you, Kristen. The Twitter quest is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're dreaming of another chip, make her feel like a world champion every day with a custom diamond ring from Mark's Jewelers. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Are the Niners a real rival of ours? 70% say no. But 30% say yes, which is a little surprising.
Well, I'll tell you, 2 years ago, that would have been higher.
Yes, 2 years ago, it definitely would have been higher.
Yes.
Coming up next, the great, we haven't talked to Mayock in weeks now, it seems like.
Mayo.
Great Mike Mayock helps us break down Eagles 49ers, 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. What time is it? It's time for you to head over to Colonial Hyundai. What is it, the right time? Now, it's always a great time to go over Colonial because whatever problems you have and buying a brand new Hyundai, they solve those problems. Financing, they're going to get you better financing, lower financing rate than anybody else, continually, as low as 0%. That is Colonial Hyundai. How about your trade? Great trade-in incentives right now. If you're worried about how much you're going to get, you don't worry about that at Colonial. You don't worry about anything. They're going to get you guaranteed $6,500 no matter what condition it's in. A car czar, John Ashdale, sitting there and knows that maybe your worry is that you're not going to get the car that you want. Not at Colonial. Hundreds of brand new Hyundais right on the lot right now. They got Konas, Tucson's, Palisades, and every brand new Hyundai leaves the lot with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Don't wait. Get over to Colonial Hyundai, Lincoln Highway in Downingtown, online at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. 0% financing applies to select new Hyundai models. Offers can't be fined. Includes all rebates and incentives. See dealer for full details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.